The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now, and it begins with a visit. Tausch, we did a few events with him during the Mike and Mike era, the Golic and Wingo era. He's always been great to us. I can't believe, though, that we were sitting here having a discussion. Well, he's here for USA football. What are we? What's he doing? We don't have any talking points. And then it dawned on us, the guy's one of the greatest to ever do this radio
Hall
thing.
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer.
I mean, he is the template for our show. Like, you're our Golic. I mean, I don't know if you deserve to be in that class, but that's another discussion for another day. Joining us now, brought to us by USA Football, and we'll have him explain in his incredible professional way why he's doing and what he's doing for USA Football. It is Mike Golic on Wilde and Tausch. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Jason, Mark, how you doing? Listen, the only thing about making the comparisons is Mark played on the wrong side of the ball, so that's all I got to say.
Well, I mean, Mike, you know, you go D-line to O-line, then it's O-line out the league. So you were two tiers away from being out. I was only one.
But I'll say this, you're right. It's like, what position is after O-line? It's spectator. That's always been a fun joke. But I'll say this, you O-linemen are having way more opportunities to score touchdowns than D-linemen scooping and scoring or something like that. I've seen more of the fifth sixes out there with the O-linemen being eligible. Did you ever catch a touchdown pass?
I did catch one, and I did a Lambeau leap. It was on Christmas Day. It was fantastic. And then somehow an offensive lineman got called for a holding penalty on my touchdown, so it got wiped out. I still, I count it as a touchdown.
I just wanted to ask. Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up for you.
It's really nice of you to do that.
So, Mike, I actually saw you in the elevator for Packers Vikings, but I had my mask on and I didn't want to be like a fanboy and tug on your jacket and say, Mr. Golic, how are you? Do you remember me? What are you up to nowadays, and what are you doing with USA Football before we get to all of our Packers questions?
Yeah, I did Learfield. I did a college game of the week all year. I did podcasts with Metalark and Stupidity, and I did Westwood One games. That's where you saw me doing games for Westwood One. I'm doing a game this week again, the Tampa Bay game this weekend. And then also the Super Bowl probably as well. So I'll be down there all week. So I've been doing a lot of little things. I shouldn't say little, a lot of different things as opposed to just a four-hour show every day that I used to. And, you know, I've been on the board for USA Football for a while now, and so I appreciate you giving me a second to talk about this. As Mark knows, every NFL player came from a little league. I mean, we all came from youth football. So, you know, me and my wife are very involved in youth football, and I think USA Football is doing a great job of kind of reinventing where we are in football, keeping the head out of the game, changing the strategies from when I was a kid for these toughness drills that we would do to more fundamentals and coaching, making sure the certified coaches are out. There's over 100,000 certified coaches. The coaches have to buy into this program as well. And Mark, I know you remember, you know, growing up it was either flag football or tackle football. You know, now USA Football has helped develop different leagues as well. So you can put your kid, your young boy or girl, into a different league. Flag, you can do senior limited, youth limited, to where you're padded but you're not going into the ground. You're learning the technique of tackling. So there are different areas that you can enter into youth football where your kid kind of fits the best. So I love that part of it. I think that part of it has been fantastic as far as developing what's going on in youth football. And it's been very big, you know, in Green Bay. Mark Murphy's been very involved on the board as well. He's done a great job. Enrollment now is huge. You can enroll right now at usafootball.com free of charge. It would be your league's kind of first step in getting involved. Basically, usafootball.com is the way to go to find this all out. But, Mark, as you know, as guys who played, you know, obviously people love watching, but we want to see this game continue and we know it needs to continue in a safer way. Football, as I said, will never be safe. There's always going to be contact and injuries, but it can be safer for our youth leagues and then eventually all the way up to the NFL level. And I think USA Football is just leading the way in making the changes that are need to be made at the youth level, so the next stars we have at the NFL are going to have a new way they're learning football.
Yeah, Mike, it's interesting, and you know the game needs to continue to grow, and there's been talk, especially 4 or 5 years ago, on the numbers dropping, concussion. NFL has been good in the regard of, you know, taking this issue a lot more seriously. But what if you're advising me, and I have a fifth grade boy, when would you, because tackle football for me, I started in seventh grade. I'm always battling with other parents because you have flag, you have tackle. When would you your kid in tackle football?
Well, so here's what's changed for me, and just what I mentioned about the youth limited contact and the senior limited contact. So now there's different divisions. So now if you don't want your kid maybe to play full tackle football right out of the gate, they can start in flag, which is great, but then they can start to put on the pads but still not have full contact. It's limited contact. So you're not getting, we're talking parents, we're talking, trying to convince the mothers, to let their sons and daughters play, quite honestly, and to show them, look at, in this limited contact, in youth or in senior, they're not going into the ground. They have great equipment that they're using to help kids learn to keep their head out of the tackle, learn to wrap up. So I think that's changed, Mark, over time, because it was, like I said, it was either flag or full contact, and parents didn't want to put their kids in full contact right away. So I have no problem mm-hmm. with it going at a younger age now. I started when I did youth football when I was 10. That's when I first started. And I have no problem, because people say, they shouldn't be full contact that young. Well, some leagues are, and, again, it's with certified coaches. But, again, you have choices now to keep your kids out of full contact when they're younger in the beginning, but they're still learning the great technique while having some pads on, so they learn that way. So I think that, Mark, that argument has changed a little bit because of the different levels now you can enter your child at.
Mike Golic joining us on Wilde and Tausch. All right, Mike, we've been having, I don't want to call it a debate. I think we've had a pretty good discussion, and we've had a lot of people chime in this morning on this. And the challenge has been trying to figure out the best way to view Aaron Rodgers' postseason performances since they won the Super Bowl, the 2010 team. And, there's been missed opportunities, to be sure. There's also been pretty crappy defenses that he's been saddled with. When you look at him and you take the totality of his postseasons for the last decade, how do you view him as a playoff quarterback?
Well, I think Aaron is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. And I think when you start doing the old, how do you compare greatest of all time? One of the, everybody has a different marker. Who do you want to play in the last 2 minutes? Who do I want to play one game and all that kind of thing? And I think Aaron's name is right up at the top or near the top for every one of these. It's one of those situations where, people say wins and losses are that's not fair to a quarterback because of, there's other, there's defense and special teams as well, that they get too much praise, that they get too much criticism. But we all know the high valued guys and the guys that touch the ball the most, which is a quarterback, should and could have the most effect on a game. So I get why the lack of success, a lot gets thrown on him. But, I think like everything else, it's not all or nothing. Some's on him, some's on the rest of the offense, some's on the defense, some's on the coaches. It's a shame, but we have Dan Marino, who got to one Super Bowl, lost it, never got back. He's considered one of the greatest of all time. I mean, we put a lot on the ring, right? We put a lot of getting there on the ring. And to me, the sport where I think you can do that the most is basketball, because basketball players are out there, offense, defense, they're out there for everything, so they can have the most effect. Aaron can't have an effect when special teams are out there or when defense is out there, but still, fairly or unfairly, however you want to put it, they get rated for that. But to me, it has not changed my thought process on where he belongs in the upper echelon of quarterbacks and great quarterbacks of all time.
So, Mike, it does matter, right? I mean, you did sports talk forever, and it always comes back to, well, Bradshaw's got four, Aikman's got three. So that is a marker that these guys got, and it does matter for Aaron to get a second one, don't you think, as far as making that case for him to be, one of the greats or the greatest?
So you just said, Aikman, and you said Bradshaw. Count the number of Hall of Famers on those teams. Of other Hall of Famers on those teams, right? That they had. So if you want to really start breaking it down, what are the other Hall of Famers Aaron Rodgers has played with? I mean, this same thing could be said quite honestly for Brady, which makes what Brady's done even more incredible. Because you're talking Gronkowski, and he had Randy Moss for 1 year. So Devontae Adams is playing great, but he's got obviously some years to go. But so I mean. I think, in my opinion, you have to look at a whole team. Aikman had an incredible team. He's a great quarterback. Had an incredible team around him. Bradshaw, my God. I mean, you could just start listing Hall of Famers on both sides of the ball. Again, that doesn't mean he's not a great quarterback, but you have a hell of a lot of help as well. So when you start looking at that, that's where I think if you're going to do that, I just don't think you can do the broad strokes and just say, well, he was the quarterback. How many wins did he have? Well, what kind of team did he have? Tom Brady winning the first few Super Bowls, that was a defensive-heavy team, those teams. It wasn't more on Brady. It was more on the defense there. So I think, to me, you have to dig a little deeper into the teams.
Talking with Mike Golic on Wilde and Tausch. Mike, you're headed to the Tampa game this week, you said, and then maybe Tausch and I will get to see you at the Super Bowl again. How do you handicap the Packers' chances not only against San Francisco on Saturday night, but if there's another matchup with Brady or if it's against the Rams, how do you like their chances for a Super Bowl 10 years after the last time they were in one?
I mean, I do like him. And then now we get to that side of it of saying, my God, you've been there, especially 13-3 the last 2 years, as well. And losing, at home to Tampa Bay last year. You do think of, in all honesty, you think of the word underachieving for this team. You can say for Aaron, because I know when you say Green Bay Packers, you say Aaron Rodgers now. But for this team of how well they've done in the regular season to underachieve in the playoffs, and to finally get over the top. They have just as good a chance as any, but I think the NFC is deeper than the AFC. I mean, in all honesty, the way the Rams are clicking, Rams beat Tampa Bay earlier in the season. Now they're going down to Tampa. You barely needed Stafford in that last game against Arizona. The defense was phenomenal. So which Ram team do you get? 41 touchdown Stafford, 17 interception Stafford with those pick sixes. We've seen Tampa Bay, the hot and the cold. Green Bay has just as good a chance as anybody else. I think they're the odds-on favorite right now of everybody, mm-hmm. And I can see that. I, if you were asked me to handicap, I would make Green Bay the favorite as well, again, having to go to Lambeau Field and play. But I do think the NFC is pretty deep.
Mike, do you like this new playoff format? I know it's a year into it now, 2 years into it, but do you like that only one team gets the bye and that seventh team gets into it? Have you been a proponent of that?
Yeah, sure, Mark. We get in now as that 17. You get that extra, playoff check. So it's okay, right? I mean, yeah, I have no problem with that, man. It's a long, bust your ass season that just takes its toll. So, listen, if you can get an extra team to get in the playoffs and keep playing and have a chance, that's the beauty of this. Unfortunately, unlike college where you have just a couple of teams that really can win it right now, we'll see if that changes. We've seen wild card teams win the Super Bowl. We've seen them get healthy at the right time and be really good early on, have some injuries, and then get healed up by the playoff time and be ready to go and win the Super Bowl. So I'm good with that. Again, as long as not too many teams. I know 14 out of 32 were just under halfway there of getting there, but I don't mind the extra team. And yeah, I do like there being a reward for the top teams. You get to sit. You get to buy. You get to kind of hang out now. So yeah, I don't have a problem with it at all. It sounds like you have a little bit of a problem with it though.
No, so Mike, here's the you've been doing this forever. You come up with different scenarios. Shoot down this. I have a theory. I want something. You're tight with Roger Goodell. If you could pass this on to him, we're okay. All about in the NFL creating content and drama when it's not actual game time. We love feeding that beast. Why not have the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans, after everything shakes out over the super-duper wildcard weekend, why not let Green Bay pick? Hey, San Francisco is a heck of a tough matchup. We smoked the Rams. I'd rather have the Rams come to town. Let the one seed pick their opponent. Tell me where that's crazy.
Wow, I never thought of that. That's pretty interesting. That truly would be, not only you get to play at home, but you get to pick your poison. And then obviously yes. You would just go down, then the two seed would make their next pick and so on and so forth. So
yep.
that is pretty interesting. And then you're really looking at the matchups. But then you get instant bulletin board material, right?
Yes, there's more drama.
Yeah,
and Mike, you also have a TV special that LaFleur and Murphy and Goody have to go out and slap the helmet up on the screen. This is who we're playing, and if they can take questions, it's made for entertainment, which this league wants to do more and more of.
You know why I would like that? Because it would make the coaches, the GMs, the owners so uncomfortable to have
yes.
to explain why you chose that team, because
yep.
all you hear is coach speak, and now you have to explain why. And you know what? I actually like that idea. I do.
I'm good. All right.
All right. Well, Tausch has got what he's wanted, so he's done with the interview.
No, it's not going to happen, but I still love it.
I do like it. I'm not going to lie. I think it's a pretty good idea. Leave it to linemen to come up with good ideas. We're the smartest ones, us linemen. Well, maybe old linemen more than D linemen. I can't get to it too much.
All right. So, Mike, a couple things now that Tausch got what he was looking for from our conversation with you. One, Tausch loves Saved by the Bell. And I thought we can't have a missed opportunity here of having a Golic on the show and not ask about your brother Bob's experience on that show in the college years that he had
the
gig?
What happened? Yeah.
You were too busy with radio, you didn't get the opportunity to be on the show, or did you have a cameo at any point? What's the deal there?
Never a cameo. All I got out of that was my brother Bob's name in it was Mike Rogers, so he was actually my name in it. So I did have that, but yeah, it was Saved by the Bell, the college years. And when my brother got married, he got married in Vegas, and a lot of the cast came there. So I actually got to meet more than a few of them, which is pretty wild. But it was a short lived series, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure how many episodes were in it, but it was a bit short-lived. But yeah, Bob enjoyed his acting days very much.
It may have been brief, but he had a great career. We were all big fans of him as well as you. All right, two other things before we let you go. One, I saw you just turned 59 last month.
Yes. Yeah, thanks.
So
yeah,
Jesse and Tausch are telling me, my 50th birthday is next month. They think that I need to do something of significance. Do you recall the best thing about your 50th birthday? And is your family already plotting a big 60th birthday for you in 11 months?
So 50 wasn't bad for me, because I felt pretty good. I've been feeling pretty good at like the weight I am post-playing and stuff. So
you look great.
I feel good, so that helped. Man, there's something about 60 next year where I'm like, God, you know, God, and for God forbid 70 when that hits, but I don't think I'm at the point now where birthdays, I just kind of let them go. You know what? I'm here. I'm still getting up every day in the morning, still breathing. So I'm going to take that as a successful birthday, and I'm going to move on. So there hasn't been a ton of celebrations, but 50, you should do something. Yeah, there should be something for you. I my 50th. We had a pretty good celebration that, even at 50, you know, you try and have a big-time celebration. Believe me, it still ended early because I just can't do it late anymore. but all that means, you know, is you turn it into a darty. You know, you go with the day party, and then you're home early at night, and you can sleep it off pretty easily.
All right, last thing for you so we can let you go. And my 50th will land 2 days after the Super Bowl, so I might be flying back from Los Angeles or wherever that game ends up being played if the Packers are in it. But the other thing that I wanted to ask you, because as you well know from doing radio for so long, not everyone listens every day. I always tell Tausch that. I always remind him of that. But you have told some legendary stories, and one of them is the story about refresh my memory on this and share it, but throwing offensive linemen in each other's way when you guys were dominating the Packers early. I think it's early. Was it early in Favre's career or toward the end of the Mikowski era? Can you reshare that story?
It was. I feel bad now doing it, but it was when Tony Mandrich was there. And Tony, listen, we all know Tony kind of had a rough time, rough go in the NFL. And when we played against the Packers and Tony was out there, you know, one of the things you do with Reggie, even though we had other great linemen like Jerome Brown, Clyde Simmons, you know, Mike Pitts, is you try and mark, you know, this year we try and match up Reggie on somebody, right? And at that point, you know, it's just the way it was, you know, that Mandrich was struggling a bit. So Reggie got lined up on Tony quite a bit. You know, Tony was playing where Tony was playing, and Reggie kind of had that hump move where you rip and then bring your arm across and just kind of would heave a lineman. And Tony wasn't the only one that felt that, but Reggie would throw him and on the ground like at our feet, you know, so it would interfere with our pass rush because he was throwing his guy on the ground. So we were like, Reggie, you know, just get him out of the way, but don't throw him at us, you know, leave us some space to do something. You know, he's sack hogging out there. Not like I got a lot of sacks. In 9 years, I had 11 and a half sacks. Some people call that bad. I call it consistent, like, you know, a little over 1 year. But, yeah, that was the game. We had a little bit of fun, unfortunately, at Tony's expense. I feel bad about it now, but you know how it is when you're playing at that time. You know, you're kind of, you know, talk a little more crap out there. And, yeah, we got after a little bit of that one.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that old Seinfeld. He knows he's bald. He knew that he wasn't very good at that point in his career, and he ended up having some good moments later in his career. Mike, I'm glad that Kevin reached out and wanted to have you with us. I hope we get to do it again soon. It's always fun catching up with you. Thanks for your time, buddy.
No problem. Sounds good. And maybe I'll see you guys down the road shortly. Who knows?
We will see, indeed. That is Mike Golic. Thanks to him and USA Football for allowing him to spend a little bit of time with us.
A little fun fact, Jason, and Matt Coonan are, you know, I know my brother and Coonan will have their Saved by the Bell trivia again. I believe Bob Golic was trying out for the San Francisco 49ers when he was making his comeback in one of the legendary episodes Saved by the Bell College Years.
So can we get Bob Golic on the show next?
I don't know. Ashton, Kenya, I don't know. Why not?
Who's Bob Golic?
That's not going to be a good starting point.
Yeah, don't start there when you text or call Mike. And who is Bob again? We will... We'll check more in to your responses on our Aaron Rodgers conversation. There's a ton of them on Twitter. We'll get to those coming up next. It's Will Dean Tausch. Thanks again to Mike Golic for hanging out with us. One of the all-time good dudes. If you missed him earlier, of course you can catch him on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. Presented by Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. Thanks not only to Mike, but thanks to David and his crew over at Gruber Law Offices for supporting our show and for supporting Wisconsin On Demand. Again, WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all. A little bit of news from the NFL. As we like to call him on the show, Bucko Bruce. Apparently he's Slappo Bruce or Puncho Bruce. Bruce Arians has been fined $50,000 for striking his own player, safety Andrew Adams. Now, I have to be honest, that was not the most interesting game that was on over the weekend. I did not watch it to its completion. Ashton, I don't know what this is about. Do you?
I do. I saw this play happen live. So Andrew Adams, there was a play near the Buccaneers sideline in Sunday's game. There looked to be a kerfuffle that was about to happen. There was a big pileup. There was going to be some fighting, possibly. Andrew Adams goes towards, takes a couple steps towards the pile, and then Bruce Arians on his hurt Achilles and all with all iced up decided to hit Andrew Adams in the head and say, "We're not doing that. Get out of here." And I'm pretty sure yesterday during a media session, he called it a dumb play and didn't really apologize for doing it.
That sort of thing is frowned upon, I believe, Tausch, slapping your players, correct?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. What you could do back in the 80s, this ain't the 80s anymore, my friends. And so I did not see what I saw a little bit about, as you put it, the kerfuffle. You don't do that to your players. You can yell, you can be stern, but you don't touch. Pretty simple rule. Fine them $50K, move on with their lives. I'm sure, I get there's heat of the moment. I understand all that. Stuff happens. People do things they regret. It doesn't sound like old Bucko's too upset about it. Maybe he is remorseful after the fine. I don't know. But you don't lay a hand on players. Pretty simple.
Pretty simple rule. You know what else is a pretty simple rule? If you're going to order pizza for pickup or delivery, probably smart to order it from Toppers, and probably smart to tune in tomorrow when Jonathan Taylor is scheduled to appear on our program. Jonathan Taylor, not a former Heisman candidate, not a great running back at Wisconsin, not
should've been
one of the best running backs in the NFL. He's a Toppers franchisee. That's how he'll be promoted tomorrow.
Absolutely. Football and pizza, they go hand in hand at Toppers Pizza. And Jonathan Taylor, I want to hook you up during this postseason with a fantastic contest. Go to toppers.com/ESPN right now, and you can win an autographed Jonathan Taylor Wisconsin jersey along with $280 in gift cards to Toppers Pizza. Do you know how many Topper sticks you can get for $280? A lot. Sign up at toppers.com/ESPN. Badger legend Jonathan Taylor, he loves him some Toppers Pizza. Reward yourself and download the all-new Toppers Pizza app and earn points for free food. Toppers Pizza, it is growing. And as Jason mentioned, MVP candidate, all-time great rusher at the University of Wisconsin, all the other stuff. But he's a franchisee of Toppers. You can learn more about the Toppers story and request more info at toppers.com/franchise. Pizza, football, and an awesome contest from our friends at Toppers Pizza. For your chance to win the signed JT jersey and the Toppers gift card, go to toppers.com/ESPN.
And don't forget to sign up for their rewards program. We already have free topper sticks coming after two orders. We may have gone a little crazy with this desserts. The monkey bread is tough to beat. Speaking of things that are tough to beat, Jesse, when he's on top of his game for Wonelli, whether he will be or not, we'll find out together next. It's Wildy and Tausch. Lots of responses to our question about Rodgers in the postseason. That may be a discussion that lingers. So many good replies. Meanwhile, Matt LaFleur is at the podium on Zoom, getting ready to talk about the Packers and 49ers, who will face off on Saturday night at Lambeau Field. But right now, it's time for Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelli
on Wildy and Tausch.
I want to make this one Tausch's choice. Tausch, do you want to hear about my dream last night about the Green Bay Packers? Do you want to hear about my dilemma watching the game this weekend with Tier 1 Tyler, big fan of the show? Or do you want to hear about Mel Kiper Mock Draft 1.0? Oh, boy. If I'm power ranking this.
Are there any other choices?
Or Woe Ashy. What's Woe Ashy? Okay. Let's hear about your dilemma with, because Tyler is such a good fan of our show, I'm going to go with Tyler here. It's not because I... So let's hear about your dilemma.
All right. Great option, Tausch. Glad you picked this one, because I'm in
Thanks.
A little bit of a pickle. So Tyler has a cabin, not quite in, as far in the North Woods as Becca's family's cabin, but in the North Woods, couple-hour drive. He invited me and some other friends to go for an ice golfing event this weekend, which sounds fun. I've never ice golfed. I have no idea what that really means. Like, do you lose
ice the golfing ball? Is, by the way, it's very fun. No, you have a tennis ball, and there's a great spot off on Lake Monona that there's the, it's the Super Bowl of golf. And you put a tennis ball down, you keep track of it. They have chili afterwards, and there's prizes. Everybody brings their Christmas trees out, and that's part of the deal on the course where you're, so it's a fun little deal. Ice golf, recommend it, but it's going to be cold.
It is going to be cold. And the big dilemma here is, so the thing is on Saturday, and of course there is something else going on Saturday we're familiar with too. Packers play Saturday evening, and I'm not positive that the TV at Tyler's cabin is going to function for the Packers game. And I asked him yesterday when he was talking about making plans, I said, can you promise the TV is going to work for the game? And he said, I'm pretty sure. Should I commit to going to this thing on Saturday with him, or should I back out? Should I say, I don't know if this is going to work?
No, you do it. It's your buddies. You guys have them up to your cabin. You get invited up. You're going to have a heck of a day. You're probably going to tip a couple back. And if worst comes to worst and the TV is junk, A, you got a couple options. You can stream it. I'm assuming they have internet up there. And if that doesn't work, flip on 620 WTMJ and let's go. Simple.
You want us listen? All to sit around like little orphan Annie in A Christmas Story, gathered around the radio and the fire in the living room of the cabin,
isn't
listening
that
to
part,
Wayne and Larry?
Isn't that part of going up north, is to chill and relax and not have all of the luxuries, internet and the fast-paced life? Don't you want to just sit back, relax? And let's be honest, maybe not everybody in this group is that excited about the green and gold. Maybe they'll go play Canyon down in the basement. You guys sit around and listen and listen to Wayne and Larry. That could be part of it.
Jason.
I love the idea of you guys surrounding the radio. I can't say that I love this topic. I stopped listening about 3 minutes ago. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly.
No, I listened to the whole thing. I don't know. Did you put Little Orphan Annie and The Christmas Story, did you put them in the same anecdote there? Because Little Orphan Annie is the Ovaltine thing?
Yeah, I'm talking Ralphie. You'll shoot your eye at where he goes into the bathroom and he's listening to the radio. Like, that's the vision. When you say gather around the radio, that's the first thing that comes to mind in my world. Ashton, you've been shaking your head this whole time. Are you saying don't go? Or are you saying back out on Tier 1 Tyler? This sounds like a bad idea.
I'm not going to say what I'd like to say, but what I will say is that, yes, you should not go. Unless if your number one priority, Jesse, is you want to watch this game, you need assurances that you can watch the game. That's otherwise, then you're not that worried about the game, and it's just, well, if I can watch it, great, and if not, you know, tough squash.
All right.
Tough
Whoa,
squash.
Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Tough squash?
That's tough squash. I hadn't heard of that one before.
Yeah.
Mel Kiper Jr., mock draft 1.0. Heck yeah. It's up. At
oh, just wait a second. No, you wanted, Jesse, you wanted me to tear this. Let's hear your dream. I mean, I'm more interested in your dream. This Mel Kiper's, you think as a Packer fan, I give two rips about the draft? I hope we're drafting 32nd and we trade the pick away because we won a championship and we're doing it just because we can. All right, I want to hear about this dream instead, because I had a goofy dream too, but I'm gonna let you go.
Oh, now my interest is piqued.
So in my dream last night, I don't often remember dreams. I dream just about every night. I don't usually remember.
You dream
details.
Fearlessly, though.
I do. Yes, I do. And I got to admit, Tausch, though, last night I dreamed with a little fear because I had this dream. I was on, like, in the middle of the action, Packers 49ers. I'm pretty sure it was daytime at Soldier Field, which didn't make any sense. But 38-24 was the final score, and I was playing for the Packers on the losing end of 38-24 against the 49ers at Soldier Field during the day. What does this dream mean? Am I scared they're going to... I don't think they're going to lose the game. Is this a premonition? Am I a psychic? I hope I'm wrong. What's going on in my brain?
You're a psycho.
Thank you.
I don't know.
That's great.
Jesse, I think what this is telling me is you and your friend should go to Chicago this weekend. That's what I think this is telling you. And I think watching the game matters. You're supposed to see your buddy in Chicago. You met him in Dubuque. I think this is a reckoning that you should go down to Chicago and watch the game somewhere down there. That's what this is telling. And if you don't, the Packers will lose and the season will be over. That's the premonition that I'm getting from it.
But if the game was at Soldier Field and they lose in my dream, wouldn't that mean I would not want to go to Chicago? And I'd want to, like, avoid that?
Listen, don't interpret my interpretation. I'm interpreting your dream. Now, if you want to interpret my interpretation of your dream, that's fine. No, I'm saying it's telling you, Jesse, we need you. Get down to Chicago.
All right, I yield the rest of my time to hear about Tausch's goofy dream.
Yeah, by the way, how did that dream story play out for you there, Tausch? When you look back on your rankings, are you wishing you'd maybe gone with Mel Kiper there or no? No regrets.
No, I think the whole idea of mock drafting, until you get to March or April, no, I think it's dumb. So, no, Jesse has not talked much. I wanted to let him go, and I thought one of two was pretty good. The dream thing stunk. Yeah, I'll agree with that. So let's just move forward and finish the show up. It's no big deal.
What was your dream?
I had I went to the doctor and they pulled a bug out of my arm.
A bug like a listening device, or an insect?
Thank you.
Like an insect. I don't know what it was.
But it won't give us any shape.
I didn't get a ton of I don't have a ton of dazzling detail, but it looked like a mosquito of some sort. And it came out, and then it was like blood was coming up, and I woke up. I don't know what that means.
Okay, this has been the dream sequence of Wildy and Tausch.
It's fascinating. Like, should we find a dream interpreter to interpret what... Jason, what's the last dream you remember having?
I don't remember many of my dreams. Don't we have someone like this? Or do we have... We have an astrologer, right? You have your go-to astrologer. You do not have a go-to dream interpreter. Yeah. Right, Jesse?
You're right. Yeah, we haven't read the horoscope lately from the Chicago Tribune. I'll have to do that this week, see if the Packers are going to win. Could be a premonition.
I haven't heard a lot about old girl in a long time. Haven't heard much.
Is Shailene going to be at the game on Saturday night?
That's a great question.
There?
I don't know. Jason would know that.
The bigger question is, what will David Bakhtiari's role be in the game on Saturday night? Matt LaFleur just spoke about him, and I'm not sure what to make of this. Tausch, I'm going to read it to you next, and you can explain it to me. It's Wildy and Tausch. All right, maybe I'm being sensitive. Or worrywart-ish. But Matt LaFleur just got done saying all kinds of nice stuff about where Randall Cobb is at. He's coming along great. He looks great at practice. He anticipates him playing in this game. He's not even activated to the roster yet. David Bakhtiari, Matt LaFleur. We'll just take it one day at a time, see how he responds to the load he gets in practice today. He played at a very high level with the snaps he played in Detroit. Am I being obtuse, or does that sound like they're still not sure exactly what they can expect from him and what they're going to get from, or are they just trying to play games with the 49ers so they don't know what their plan is with David Bakhtiari? Tausch.
No, I don't think they probably know yet what the plan is. I would be shocked if he doesn't play, but I think they're still trying to figure out. You know, Randall Cobb is not out there every snap. David Bakhtiari would be. And I think they're trying to figure out where and how they're going to approach playing these guys on the O-line. I think Josh Myers is going to play. I think Lucas Patrick's going to be the right guard. Yeah. Is David Bakhtiari going to play 70 snaps? I don't think they know the answer to that yet, but I would be shocked if he's practicing today, and unless he has some monster issues come up, he's going to play. And now it's just figuring out how much is he going to play.
And what do you think? We'll talk more about this tomorrow, but do you expect, as of right now today, and we'll get more information after he practices, do you expect him to play every snap at left tackle on Saturday night? Mull that over, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, because I do, as much as I love the Yosh Nijman story, there's a big difference between this offensive line with David Bakhtiari, even if he's not at his optimal level, and when they don't have him. That'll do it for us today. Thanks to Mike Golic, thanks to Uncle Homer, and thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.